Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:14 Irish Summer Time. Today is October 10th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But let's have a review of the week, and my gosh, what a week it's been. The markets have seen a large degree of capitulation. I remember 6 months ago receiving an email to the effect that someone had said that we weren't at the low for the market because people just were not bearish enough, that he hadn't seen enough of selling to convince him that the market had hit a bottom. And he was dead right. But looking at what we are experiencing in here in this week, we've seen markets falling by 20% in some cases. These are incredibly large downward dynamics following an extended downtrend. So this is a massive acceleration. These downtrends are going parabolic. And just as we would be extremely wary of something that was accelerating like that on the upside, we also need to be extremely wary of something that is accelerating like that on the downside. You'll see that I posted two really quite important indicators. We don't use moving averages in the conventional sense, but we are very conscious of any instrument that diverges from its moving average on a prolonged basis. And we see so many of these indices moving now to overextensions relative or divergences relative to their 200-day moving averages that are historically extremely wide, and in some cases have never been this wide before. That it is a clear indication that these markets are remarkably oversold, that sentiment is just about as bearish as it gets. But that doesn't really encapsulate what's happening here, because what we have in the market right now is panic. We have long investors here panicking out of positions. And that has been happening just about all week. Even though this week we saw a number of measures instituted by central banks around the world, from a simultaneous rate cut of 50 basis points to the UK saying that it's going to put £50 billion into its domestic banking sector by buying stakes, in other words, nationalizing parts of just about all the major banks in the UK. We also had today the FDIC saying that it had wide leverage to support banks by insuring larger stakes of their deposits. And we also had Hank Paulson talking about literally putting money directly into banks by recapitalizing them and buying their shares. We have the G7 speaking tonight, and the breaking news there is that there is a lot of disagreement on the type of statement that they should be issuing. The Italians are saying that it is too weak and doesn't reflect the weight of exactly what is happening in markets right now. Personally, I think what we need to do is to see central banks acting as clearing houses for the short-term debt markets, the money markets, and the commercial paper markets. And we also need to see some sort of guarantee that is going to back up the ability of banks to make loans in this market, because that is the one concrete event that would really start to get credit moving once more. And until something like that happens, I think we're going to continue to see these ratio or these spreads like the TED spread and the OIS spread and the VIX hitting new highs. And it was new highs all week for these spreads and the VIX index. You'll see that chart of the VIX I posted today. It's on a weekly basis. It went over 70 in here today, which is a remarkable move, but is also an indication that we are getting increasingly close to an important low for this market. It is extremely easy, particularly when someone has panicked out of a position, to wish that market would go lower. And anyone who has been wishing the market to go lower has certainly not been disappointed this week. But the markets cannot fall at this rate for very long. And we are quickly getting into extremely climactic activity. And anyone who is looking and still waiting around for what they would consider a capitulation sale has really only got to look at a weekly chart, because the amount of selling that has gone on this week to pull these markets down to this extent is quite incredible. There might be the contention that it isn't hasn't happened on huge volume, but that wouldn't bother me particularly, considering the size of the downward dynamics and the way these markets have gone parabolic. Looking at the commodity markets, because in this week we've seen commodities being relatively steady, particularly gold, and today we saw that oil dropped more than $7. It's currently at $79.34, so it's down almost $10 or $15 this week. Today's action, which saw it down $7 and is a clear acceleration of this downward trend as well, probably was also due to some liquidation on the part of commodity index funds, because it wasn't just oil that came down. As soon as oil started to sell off, we saw gold falling $64. It's well off the low in here. It was down in excess of 80 at one point. That's a key reversal on gold today. And gold had rallied remarkably well from that $750 level right up to the moving average near $900, and has encountered resistance around that level and is now pulling backwards. Excuse me. So what we need to see is gold finding support now around where it found support a couple of weeks ago, around 825, and failing that above $750. If it falls very much below that 825, well then anyone looking at this chart will see that the uptrend has been broken in the last 5 years. It broke the 200-day moving average, rallied up to test the moving average, and is now broke. If it breaks below 750, then there could be another significant down leg on this trend. We certainly can't rule that out. But gold has been a remarkable relative performer over the last couple of weeks, particularly as stock markets have been selling off. If indeed we do start to get a rebound in stock markets, then those safe havens that have appeared over the last couple of months, i.e., the Japanese yen and the US dollar and gold, are going to come under pressure, because if risk appetite starts to improve, then there is a big draw to move into any type of yielding asset that is on an upward trajectory, rather than staying in gold, which has been a relative performer but not an absolute performer over the last couple of weeks. So it is a dangerous situation, particularly in these commodity markets, because it is obvious from the trading in here today, with corn and soybeans locked to limit down for the vast majority of the day, with silver falling in excess of $2 at one point, but it's fallen below $10 certainly, and that is breaking to new lows. Platinum was down $62 as well. So we also had the weakness in the industrial metals, with copper pulling back towards $2, with nickel down to $12,000 in here right now. So this is a very liquid environment, or liquid is the wrong word. This is a dangerous environment, and we should really be waiting for these upward dynamics to come in, particularly on the stock markets, before becoming too bullish in here. What I'm seeing at the moment is that the Dow has rallied significantly off its lows intraday. It's only down 80 points right now, having been down in excess of 5% at one point, tested 8,000 on the Dow in here today. It's at 8,470 right now. So we may be getting a little bit of short covering towards the end of the day. Looking at the longer term, well, given the way that this market has performed over the last week, it is very difficult to look across the chasm and project what the recovery is going to look like. It is too early to say that this downtrend has ended. There are too many bearish factors out there, and the prospect of a recessionary environment next year right across the globe. So at the moment, we can certainly expect a relief rally to unwind this massively oversold condition. Depending on how markets then consolidate that move, will give us a much better idea of whether this is the upcoming low, whenever that is going to be an important low in terms of these downtrends. We should also be aware, of course, that markets have been falling for about 18 months, and this bear market is getting a bit long in the tooth. What we should also be aware of is that there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, and with commodities coming off quite sharply and getting back to quite low levels, with oil coming back very sharply and well below $100 at this point, below $80 in fact, and looking like it's going to come lower, with inflationary fears completely off the table in here at the moment, and with central banks around the world cutting interest rates aggressively, with liquidity being pumped in at a rate not seen in years, we are coming very swiftly back into very favorable conditions for investing on a long-term basis. There is certainly an argument that we're going to have earnings falling into 2009 and that estimates are well above what we can actually expect to happen on that front. But stock markets are remarkably oversold in here. And even if I think that there is a lot of bearish sentiment priced into these markets without actually addressing the fundamentals, a lot of the problem that we're having right now is to do with liquidity in the money markets. And I've seen an article sometime this week referring to that as the plumbing for the financial markets, and when plumbing backs up, things can get very messy. Well, once that plumbing is sorted out, that's going to be a big burden off of financial markets generally. And there is the potential for the pattern of the trend of foreclosures in the US to bottom out sometime next year as well. And that would also be a major positive. Companies that survive this trauma are going to be healthier for it. And the ones that have gone bust, well, then it gives a competitive advantage to those that survive. So I'm not as well, we haven't been as bearish as those who have been trumpeting for a new depression. And I think that there is a very good potential that, given the way that markets have performed this week, we could be turning back into a Goldilocks scenario quite sometime next year or potentially into 2010. What that would mean is that emerging markets, which have been priced out of buying commodities to fuel their infrastructure, will now be able to afford to do so. And it will not only be China, which continues to talk about being a strong buyer of commodities over the long term. India will be getting in on the act, and the Middle East will continue to build cities to house and employ their burgeoning populations. Over the very long term, Asia will continue to be the center of growth for the world, and as a population center and increasingly a center of innovation, there is the potential for Asia to profit well from this scenario. We talked a lot in the last year about the wobbly West and the enterprising East. The enterprising East, someone said, I think it was Mark Farber, said that they were too stupid to buy those Lehman structured products. But wasn't that a stroke of luck? Because even though a number of those banks have had some exposure to the subprime problems, it's global liquidity that is now their problem. And once that liquidity is sorted out, and I'm not anticipating that we're going to get back to the levels of liquidity flooding around the markets that we saw back in 2007, but certainly it's going to be better than it has been in the last 6 months. And in the next years, those companies that have good balance sheets and are credible candidates to acquire loans stand in very good stead that they're going to get them. And a lot of Asian companies and a lot of Asian countries are in much better economic states right now than a lot of economies in the Western world, particularly the US and Europe. So what we have had with this credit crisis is an interjection in our long-term fuller money themes. China will slow, but certainly not move into recession, regardless of fears to that effect. And India has performed very well in relative terms recently and should also benefit from any loosening of liquidity. Asia, being the center of GDP growth for the world, well, the leader in GDP growth for the world, has a natural advantage. It will take time for markets that have been particularly heavily hit to recover, but I think it will take less time than a lot of people right now are thinking about. In previous occasions, when we've seen markets become as overextended as they are now, and I appreciate that this is a very different scenario, but we have seen that markets have rallied relatively quickly following these big drawdowns. What I anticipate on this occasion is a big short covering rally and a consolidation of those gains, which could lead on to base formation and the establishment of new uptrends. And that is a process that will take at least a year. But that is considerably less than the decades that I have also seen mentioned by some pundits for the recovery of these stock markets. What we can look forward to is that a lot of the commodity sector is considerably cheaper now than it was. They're being priced because they're being knocked back because of recessionary fears for next year. And if by some chance the recession is not as deep as people anticipate, then these shares are remarkably cheap in here right now. And even if the recession is deeper than people anticipate, they're still cheap relative to their overall potential over the long term. Because commodity bull markets are considerably longer generally than we've just had. We're probably about halfway through. And the fundamentals, given that the infrastructure development that's needed right across the globe, not just in emerging Asia, but in Europe and the US, remains there to be built. And we can anticipate that any new administration in the US is likely to put a lot of money into infrastructure to, because it is needed, but also to help to try and create employment. So commodities are certainly selling off in here right now. Some of our favorite shares, such as BHP and Rio, have sold off aggressively and made new lows in here today, and are also looking very oversold, just like the rest of the stock market. But these are also cash-rich companies, and that first upward dynamic, whenever it arrives, is likely to mark a low of at least near-term, probably medium-term significance. Looking at the gold complex, gold is under pressure at the moment because there is the potential for its safe haven status to get tested in the coming weeks. But with the amount of liquidity that has been flooded into markets, and with interest rates falling, and generally lower interest rates are supportive of gold, then that is a net positive over the long term. People have had their confidence shaken in the way that markets work, and certainly in fiat currencies, because central banks have been printing as if there was no tomorrow. And that is something that devalues just about all currencies, not just the US dollar. There is no country wants a particularly strong currency in the age of globalization, And we've seen that a number of Asian economies have recently left go of their policies of strengthening their currencies. I think Singapore did that just a couple of days ago, and Korea, it must have been almost a year ago. So we are in an environment where there is competition to have a weaker currency, and that is generally supportive of gold and precious metals. We're in a very interesting position right now relative to how gold is performing, relative to how the other precious metals are performing to gold, because gold has held up relatively well. But for example, platinum has fallen back to almost parity, hasn't been at levels relative to gold like this in, I think, since 1994, which is a significant period of time. We see that these other precious metals are very oversold, and indeed gold shares are extremely oversold relative to the gold price. And once credit conditions start to ease up once more, they have significant room to appreciate in the upside, particularly if gold can continue to range above the 750 level, or if it can hold in a consolidation, then the gold shares have considerable room to improve. Looking at the way the currencies have appreciated, well, the dollar has turned a big corner by moving back above the 74 level on the dollar index and establishing a very consistent, powerful uptrend, which now pulls it back up towards the 83 level in here today. Gold, or sorry, the dollar has benefited enormously from the safe haven that it provides for a lot of investors, and there has also been the implication that it was supported by central banks 2 or 3 months ago at this point. The downtrend has been broken for the dollar, and it really would need to move significantly now on the downside to offset scope for this to range gradually higher. However, I find it very difficult to make a bullish case for the dollar. Rather, it's easy to make bearish cases for a number of other currencies, which could potentially prolong the uptrend for the dollar, at least in the medium term. But over the longer term, the money has to come from somewhere to pay all these debts that the US has, and that's not conducive to a strong currency. So I wouldn't be at all surprised that over the next couple of years that we could see the dollar reaffirming its downtrend. But certainly in the short to medium term, the upside, the risks are to the upside for the dollar. Looking at the bond markets, well, bonds in an inflationary environment, we would expect yields to rise over the long term. The credit crisis is also interjected in the base building process for the 10-year yield, and that is a very interesting chart to keep an eye on, because the downtrend bottomed in 2003, and we are now in a base formation that has a progression of rising lows. Obviously, it would need to break significantly above the 5% level to complete this base, but even though bond prices have rallied significantly over the last year or so on a number of occasions, the 10-year yield has put in a number of higher lows. And government bonds have rallied also because of their safe haven status, but they are a bit weaker in here now, and they're down to 113 on the 10-year, 116 on the 30-year, which is quite a bit below the highs that we saw in the last few weeks. Over the long term, I would expect government bond prices to come significantly lower and yields to eventually break on the upside. But that might take longer than we had originally anticipated, purely because this credit crisis has pumped an enormous amount of liquidity into the markets, and the failure of the credit bubble is a seminal event for markets, and this will help to quell inflationary fears over the medium term. Over the long term, it will probably exacerbate inflationary fears because of the solutions to this credit crisis. But in the medium term, inflation is just not going to be a problem. And that is a positive for government bond prices generally, because deflationary fears would help to support government bond prices. So it's unlikely they're going to rally significantly, sorry, that they're going to fall significantly in the short to medium term, but nor do I anticipate them rallying back up and above the highs that they've seen this year. What we can anticipate over the coming weeks is that, and I realize this is diverging from the long-term themes, but over the long-term focus of this audio, but in the coming weeks, we can anticipate the VIX to fall back, the TED spread and the OIS spreads to fall back, and stock markets to begin a significant rally, which could take us into the end of the year. After that, we can make judgment calls as to what any kind of consolidation will look like. And that is certainly something to be very aware of in one's trading and investing, because we are being presented with some excellent buying opportunities if one is prepared to hold for the long term. Over the short to medium term, we can anticipate, excuse me, volatility to be extremely high. And it is unlikely that we're going to see volatility falling back to the levels that we saw between sort of 2004 and 2007. We're now in an environment where inflation, sorry, where volatility is going to be higher than we have become used to in the last 4 or 5 years. And that is not conducive to low risk investing. We will be in a trading environment, I think, for quite a bit longer, or for, I should put a date on that, for the next few months at least, before consistent uptrends can reassert themselves in a number of instruments. And with that, I'll leave you for the weekend, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you enjoy yours too.